I believe in miracles.
That in an envelope, we'll mark it Bibles for
Pastor Reddy, that can take care of that. And there's also that box in the back for the conversion center. They're trying to raise money for tracts, so if you would like to contribute to that, that's there as well. And of course, we want to make sure Brother Renzi is taken care of as well. So there's a basket back there for him. So those are the offering, different offerings that we're taking. We trust that the Lord will guide and direct each one of us as we determine in our hearts what is the best thing to do in those areas. I think that's it on announcements that I'm aware of. Let's get back to singing then. Let's go down the page to 171. Lord, come on. Just going to see if anyone would like to try to say this verse, we're going to be learning something different starting today. John 20, verse 31. Anyone want to say it? If time for the group to volunteer, if you'd like to.
Today, my wife is actually going to go to her father's church this morning to hear him. I said, well, it's Father's Day, right? And she also has to take care of the ham. So once I heard that, I said, you just do what you got to do. You do what you got to do. So with that in mind, I'm going to be really quick today. although our brother here told me that the microphone will self-destruct if I go too long. Amen. But anyway, it's good to be here this morning. And let me say happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. Amen. And thank the Lord for our dads. Amen. And our moms. And everything's okay in our father's house, right? Yes. And for those who have fathers that are there, it's more than one father's house. Amen. It's God the Father's house, and it's your earthly father's house as well. Amen. And we thank the Lord for that. Well, we're picking up this morning. We're still dealing with the thought of one another. And that's what the church is all about. The church is not about one. It's not about one person who's preeminent in the church. It's, by the way, the only one preeminent in the church should be Jesus Christ. Amen. Colossians 1:18, it says that he should have the preeminence in all things. We thank God for prominent people in the church. And we thank God for the leadership that God gives. Leadership is a gift from God to the church. In fact, if you think of the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about Jesus giving gifts gifted men to the church. He gave gifted men that started the church, and he gave gifted men that continue the church. So thank God for God's gifts to the church. Amen. But these men also realize that they are just what God wants to use to help the church to grow. Amen. Nobody's above another. Nobody's more important than another. Everybody's important. Amen. And no doubt about that. And so we've been talking about one another, and the fact is we spent several weeks speaking about the fact we need to love one another. We already got that message, I hope. But the second thought we started last week was not only do we need to love one another, and many, many things come under that category, but we talked, starting in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, we talked about the second thing we need to do with one another is we need to serve one another. And look at Galatians 5:13, if you would, please. The Bible says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. I mentioned last week what liberty is. In the context, he's saying to them, you have been liberated from the law, the ceremonial law of the nation of Israel. We are not liberated from the moral law. Amen. You and I, by the way, the Ten Commandments, actually nine of them are repeated in the New Testament. The only one that's not repeated is to keep the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath is not for us. That was for the Jewish people. Amen. We worship the Lord on the Lord's day. Amen. But the fact of the matter is we don't have to keep the ceremonial laws of the nation of Israel. There were people coming to these Galatian believers, and they were Judaizers, we call them. They were saying, hey, just simply trusting Christ is not enough to save you. You have to be circumcised. You have to keep the law of Moses. And Paul the apostle was one who fought for the truth of the gospel. In fact, Paul throughout the book of Galatians says, hey, I got the message to give to the Gentiles directly from the Lord. He told me this gospel that I'm preaching is from the Lord. And if an angel or anybody else tells you anything different, let him be accursed. And so he got the message straight from the Lord. Tell the Gentiles. Remember, Paul was the minister to the Gentiles. Amen. In fact, God used him in a mighty way to spread the word to the Gentiles. And he had a unique situation, Paul. But nonetheless, one of the things he says, you've been liberated. You've been set free from the law, verse number 13. But you've been called unto liberty, but only use not a liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And I believe that nowadays people use the term liberty for an occasion to the flesh. In other words, I have liberty. I'm free to do what I want. That's not Bible. That is not Bible truth. We have been liberated from the bondage of the devil. Thank God for that. We have been liberated from the bondage of the flesh to a great degree. You say, what do I mean by that? We are not going to be liberated from this flesh until we're out of here. Amen. Those of our loved ones who were saved and who have gone on before, they're liberated right now from the flesh. They're not dealing with the flesh like we do. But in great measure, we have been given the power to overcome our flesh in such a way that we don't have to live under its power and its control. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, the whole chapter deals with that issue. Hey, reckon yourselves dead indeed in the sin, but alive unto God. What he's saying, now that you're saved, you don't have to let sin reign or be the king of your life no more. You will sin. You will have faults. You will have failures, but you don't have to live there anymore. Amen. In fact, that song, Thanks to Calvary, I don't live there anymore. Every once in a while, sheep fall in the mud. Can I get a witness on that one? But they're not like pigs. They don't wallow in it. You know what I mean? We kind of, you know, we have our faults and our failures, but we don't wallow in the mire. Amen. That's our old nature. Amen. And so we've been set free from sin. We've been set free from the slavery of the devil and from ourselves, if you will. And one day there's going to be an ultimate freedom, and we look forward to that day. Amen. We'll definitely look forward to that. But he said, by the way, like I said, many people use this word liberty as a license to do whatever they want to do. And it's just not right. Amen. Look at verse number 13. He says, brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. And here's what he says. But by love, serve one another. Serve one another. See, we need to love one another first and foremost. And by the way, that's probably the greatest thing, the greatest struggle, the greatest battle. If I love you, I will very easily, and may I say, very gladly serve you. I have a problem serving you if I have a problem first, what? Loving you. So love is the main issue, isn't it? love is definitely the main issue. You know, I have a message I have things that I call seed thoughts. They're not fully developed messages, but they're thoughts that I kind of get. I'll jot them down. I'll throw them in a bag of seeds, if you will. And they're seed thoughts. And one of the things that hit me through the scriptures was love makes it easier. It really does. Love makes it easier. It makes it easier to serve one another. Let's see here. Jacob served 7 years to marry who? Rachel. But they seemed but what? A few days because of the love that he had for her. You see, he loved Rachel so much that it was like 7 years was like nothing because his love for her, it made it easy. Love makes things easier. Amen. And God help us to first and foremost love one another, because then we can best serve one another. Serve one another. Turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter number 4. I'm reiterating the two main verses that sprung us into this thought of serving one another. Serving one another. And by the way, that's what the church is all about. By the way, God's church is our support group. That's the truth right there. God's church should be our support group. Amen? We should be able to get help and encouragement one from another. Let me tell you what the world has done. The world has come up with support groups because they've rejected the support group that God has provided. People don't want to be a part of the church. People don't want to get involved with the things of the Lord. They get into addictions. They get into drug addiction, alcohol addiction. So what do? They find an AA or an NA. What are they doing? They're trying to find a support group that'll help them because they're trying to stay straight or clean and so on, right? God's house and God's people are God's support group for you and I. Amen? And by the way, we need to love one another. We need to help one another. Amen? No doubt about it. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 4. Look at verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift. Now, we talked about this last week, the gift. There's only two things that are referred to in the Bible as the gift. Number one is salvation. Right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And not only is salvation the gift of God, but the Holy Spirit is the gift of God. Peter said that the gift of the Spirit of God fell upon the Jewish people, and then he fell upon the Gentile people. The same gift. Jews and Gentiles get the same gift. When you get saved, that is a gift. But with the gift of salvation comes what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? That means this: because I'm saved and have the Holy Spirit, I can help others. You see, I can't help you just simply from my fleshly perspective. Hey, if I'm not getting help from him, I can't help you. If you're not getting help from him, you can't help me. Amen. And so first and foremost is because we're saved, we can help one another. Let's read the rest of the verse. Verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, he says, even so, what? Minister, which is basically help and serve one another, right? Minister or serve the same one to another. Help one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We need to serve one another. Turn to Galatians, back to Galatians chapter number 6, if you would. I want to give you, by the way, as you well know, I don't want to blame you for it. I took all the one another statements in the Bible, in the New Testament, especially referring to the church, and I categorized them under two categories. We talked about all the things that we ought to do that refer to loving one another. And now I want to look at all the things that we ought to do in order to serve one another. How do we serve one another? And I think the Bible kind of lays out several one another's that we need to do in order to serve one another. And here's one of the first things that we need to do if we're going to serve one another. Galatians chapter number 6. I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 2. Galatians 6, verse number 2. What does it say? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the law of love. Amen. If we are going to love one another, if we're going to serve one another, then here's what serving one another is. It's basically this, helping one another. See, bearing one another's burdens is what? Helping one another. At my father-in-law's church, Bethel Baptist Church, they started a school, I don't, 20-something years ago. And it was basically a school for the church kids. It wasn't, you know, anybody and everybody come on in. We're trying to build some, you know, whatever. It was for the church families and the church children. And what happened was they kind of drew up a plan and they said, okay, we're going to need these teachers and we're going to need this material. And we're going to do this. Now, some families had 7 kids, 8 kids. Some families had 2 kids. I mean, you know, and so what they tried to do is they tried to help to provide a school for the church, but yet make it affordable. Because a lot of times, sad to say, schools are so unaffordable nowadays. Amen. Especially college. Fathers, may I say this? Start saving now. Believe me, start saving now. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, my father-in-law started this school, and we're trying to help our church families. We don't want to see them send their kids to the world, you know, and the philosophy. We're trying to provide. But the money it's going to take and to charge the family and try to work. And so they came up with an idea. There was a great number in the church that didn't have children that had to go to school. In fact, they didn't have children at all. Maybe they were retired or whatever. And so he started a program, and he called it this, the Burden Bearers. And what he would say is, listen, if you would like to help our school so we can keep the cost down for the sake of these others, would you become a burden bearer? Would you maybe make a donation or a commitment to, I'll donate 10 hours a week? I mean, nothing to drink. I'll donate 10. I'll be a burden. What does that mean? Burden bearer means this, helping one another. Amen? And that's exactly what it is. We need to help one another. Now, let me just say this. I think, in the context of this verse, I think we can't skip over verse number 1. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, we got here an individual who gets tripped up. He's not necessarily one who said, I'm forsaken the Lord and I'm just going to go be a rebel and do what I want to do. Now, here's a man who's trying to live for God, but like many of us, he gets tripped up. You know, I think David got tripped up for a while. There's a man after God's own heart who got what? Tripped up. Amen. Here's what it says. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual, restore. See that word restore? Let's put them back together again. It's the mending of a broken bone. Somebody's got to doctor the brother. May we not be like Job's doctors. Can I get a witness on that one? Do you know what Job called those 3, maybe 4, physicians of no value? That's what he called them, physicians of no value. They came alongside of Job to what? Help him. They would have been a better help if they would have just continued to shut up. Presence alone is good enough sometimes. But no, they had to say, well, hold on a minute, Job. Boy, I'll tell you, you got to have done something wrong. Oh, this stuff doesn't just simply happen to anybody. Oh, certainly you have to. Now, we can't pinpoint any particular sin. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to call you a hypocrite. Why? Hypocrite means you're pretending. We know you're doing something wrong. We just don't know what it is. We can't pinpoint it. So we're just going to call you a hypocrite. That kind of covers everything, right? If a brother be overtaken in a fault, let ye which are spiritual restore or help such a one. Get this. In the spirit of what? Meekness. Meekness. Be under the control of the Lord when you're helping others. Considering what? Thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let me tell you something. Look, by the way, here's what I think. I think that what he means by let him which is spiritual restore or help a brother who was overtaken in a fault. He just got done talking in Galatians chapter 5 about you can be one of 2 things as a Christian. You can be a fleshly Christian or you can be a spiritual Christian. What does a spiritual Christian look like? We're in Galatians. Look at chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Look at chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Here's what a spiritual Christian is. Here's the kind of people we need to be so that we can help one another. And by the way, let me say this. Not only is it, I need to be this way so I can help others, I'm praying for others to be this way because there's going to be a time where I'm going to need somebody to help me. Amen? Look at Galatians 5. Look at verse number 22. Here's what spiritual means. But the fruit of the Spirit, might I say this? The result. The word fruit is result. The result of being Spirit-filled. Watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's one of the first things of being Spirit-filled? Love. You see, by love, serve one another. By love, sir. Could you imagine going to the doctor with a broken arm and he's going to be, along with re-breaking it maybe to put it back together, that's going to hurt in itself. Imagine if he was mean on top of that. Now, parents can be mean sometimes when their children hurt themselves, but they're not being mean because they're mean. They're mean because they're mad. They're mad at the situation. What did you go and do? Yeah, I got a broken arm. That's what I went and did. And on top of that, you're going to yell at me. You know? Can I get a witness? So, ain't that the truth? Oh, I'll kill you. Okay, well, let's get the arm fixed first, huh? People, when we fall, we get hurt. We don't need some unkind, unpolite. By the way, I've seen some doctors like that. I mean, just rude. No bedside manners, that's for sure. Amen? We can't help one another with that kind of attitude. Lovingly, patiently, kindly, not, oh, look what you, oh boy, oh my, God really got a hold of, oh boy, you know? Look at, let's read the rest of the verse. But fruit of Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, and here's it's long suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's faith, it's meekness, it's temperance. And guess, sons, there is no law. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, and by the way, we're all going to have our faults and failures. You which are spiritual, you which are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, help such a one. And by the way, do it in a spirit of meekness, gentleness, kindness. Amen? And I like what he says in Galatians 6:1. Listen, considering thyself. You know, one of the best things that we can do before we try to help somebody else is consider yourself. You're just as human. You're just as sinful. Matthew chapter 5. In fact, we might get sidetracked, but let's do it. Matthew chapter 7, not 5. Matthew chapter 7. We don't want to do the Sermon on the Mount, right? Not the whole thing. Look at Matthew chapter number 7, if you would, please. We need to, first and foremost, love one another. Love one another. Love one another. And then on top of that, loving one another, we need to help one another. In that spirit of love. In that spirit of love. Amen? You know, there are some people you love to help. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody with me on that one? There are some people, listen, there are some people that are just nice people. They're whatever. And naturally, you just want to help them. I mean, no problem, brother. I'll be there. Some people, oh, hold on a minute. Am I the only sinner in this place? Or what? Some people, it's like, yeah, well, I hope everything works out for you. Is that dinner ready yet? Just watch the game. Amen? Some of you are seeing through the lines there, but look at Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse number 1. One of the first things we should do when we're seeking to help somebody, consider yourself first. There goes I, but by the grace of God. Look what it says in verse number 7. I'm sorry, chapter 7, verse number 1. Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. And by the way, we all have to be careful of what this means. It doesn't mean don't discern something, because the word judge can mean discern. What it means is to bring condemnation on somebody, condemn somebody. Verse number 2, for with judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with measure what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. Now here's verse 3, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Before you try to help somebody to get a piece of sawdust out of their eye, whatever their fault or their failure is, consider the fact you got a beam in your own eye. Amen. Why? If you think you're all that and a bag of chips, and I don't know where I got that from, but if you think you're all that and this guy, you're going to be unkind, you're going to be hard, you're going to be harsh. By the way, I've been there. Especially people who just get saved and just growing in the Lord, and you're on fire for God, and you run into a guy that's not on fire for God, and you know what you do a lot of times? You burn them. You get all hard on them and harsh. Boy, I can recall being on fire for the Lord when I first got right with the Lord and coming across the guy who was wayward and out of the way. And I just was, you know, getting on him and getting on. And then after years and years and years, you start to grow. You start to get compassion. You start to get a little more sympathy. You start to get a little more understanding. And then you start to say, I wish I could go back. I've been a lot more gentle. In fact, Jesus Christ, it says that when he would come to the nation of Israel, a bruised reed he would not break and smoking flax he would not quench. You say, what does that mean? If there's a bruised reed or a broken reed on a tree, Jesus ain't going to come and just simply rip it down. He'd rather restore that branch again. Smoking flax, they say, was the oil in the candle that would burn. When the oil would get low and the wick would be needing to be trimmed, it would put off an offensive smoke. They call smoking flax. And instead of extinguishing the light, he would rather refill the oil and trim the wick and revive and restore that lamp again. And it refers to his gentleness in dealing with broken and hurting people. Amen? He says in verse number 3, why beholdest thou, let's pick up verse number 4. How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? What's he say? First, cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. What is he saying? Here, listen, I think it's best when you're going to help a brother that has been fallen, consider the fact that you're as human and you're as flesh as he is or she is. Be as kind. Here's what I say, and boy, if we can only do this, be as kind and be as gentle to him in helping him or her in helping her as you would want them to be in helping you. Amen? There's a couple situations that took place in the Bible that I think is a great example of this. You remember in Genesis chapter 38 when Judah had a daughter-in-law named Tamar. How many people remember that story? Judah was supposed to give Tamar his youngest son when he got old enough to marry Tamar. And he didn't do it. And Tamar one day said, I'm going to go where I know he goes. And she went and she acted as if she was a harlot. She obviously covered her face and covered herself to the point where Judah could not see who she was. And she sat by the side as if she was a prostitute. And Judah was a very immoral man. He shouldn't have been in that area in the first place. But nonetheless, Judah comes by and he has relations with this seeming prostitute. And he says, what shall I give you? And she said, well, listen, give me a down payment to make sure you're going to give me what I want. Give me your signet ring. Give me your bracelet. Give me your staff. I'll hold that until you can pay me what you need to pay me. And he did what he did and he went off. And so he sent somebody back to find her. But they said, we don't have that type of woman in our community. Time goes by. Somebody comes to Judah and says, hey, Judah, your daughter-in-law, she's played the harlot. She's with child. She's not married. What did Judah say immediately? Let's burn her. Burn her. Think about it. What was he being? He was an immoral man. If you read his history, immoral, filthy, and her sin, burn her. And he went to get her, to burn her, and guess what happened? Soon as she pulled out and said, this is the one that whom I'm with child, soon as he saw that, you know what happened? He got convicted. And here's what he said after seeing that. Guess what? Not burn her. She's more righteous than me. Let me tell you what he did not do. In judging her, he did not first judge himself. Not that you judge yourself and let something go. You judge yourself and you deal with it appropriately. Not look what you have done. You're this, you're that. More like we're all in bad shape. We all have our faults and failure. This shouldn't have been. Am I right? He didn't consider himself. Here's another story. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, you remember the story of David. how David saw Bathsheba. In fact, David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He should have been what? Battling, right? And because he stayed back, obviously, you know, there are people that, well, was it Bathsheba's fault? Now, I don't see why. She would assume that he wouldn't have been there. But nonetheless, you know what happened. David fell with Bathsheba. David had Uriah killed and so on. And David covered it up for at least 9 months. That's about as long as you can cover it up, I think, right? Nathan was sent by God to David and told him the story about that man who had all the lambs and went and took one man's ewe lamb. You remember that? And what did David do? He got mad. And he said he ought to die and he ought to pay fourfold. Let me tell you what David did. He judged himself and didn't realize it. You see, if he'd have known he was talking about him, he'd have said, oh, may God have mercy on him. May God forgive. He didn't know. He was the wavering man, his flesh. Amen. But immediately, and by the way, you remember what Nathan said to him at the end. You're the man. I'm not that hard on myself. When I have my faults and failures, I'm not like, you know, beating myself and this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, Lord, forgive me. I did it again. Lord, wash me, cleanse me. Thank you for your mercy and grace. And I'm going on. If I could judge people and be as kind and merciful to others as I am to myself, we'd all be in pretty good shape. Amen? We need to serve one another. How do we serve one another? Help one another. Help one another. Be helpful. Think about yourself first. Look, by the way, you know yourself best. Nobody else knows you like you know you. And that's why you and I ought to be humble. Boy, if they only knew. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to tell you all about me. You might actually kick me out. Amen. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. We need to bear one another's burdens. Let me close with this. I want you to turn to back to Galatians, please. So we need to serve one another. How do we serve one another? Help one another. Let's help one another. Let's help one another. In Galatians chapter 6, I want to just note something and then we'll end with this. Galatians chapter number 5. We'll look at, I keep saying chapter 5, I'm sorry, chapter 6. Galatians 6. Now we note it, verse number 1, bear ye one another's burdens, right? Now look at verse 5. What's it say in verse 5? For every man shall bear what? His own burden. Now some would say, that's a contradiction right there. It says we ought to bear one another's burdens. Then it says every man's bear his own burden. One of the best things I read in one of the commentaries that I've studied, and I try to look up as much as I can. They said this is not a contradiction. The understanding is this. There's two different words used, they say, in the word burden of bearing one another's burdens and bearing your own burden. They say your own burden is the equivalent of a soldier's bag. A soldier's bag. In fact, we were singing a lot of songs this morning about being soldiers of the Lord. Amen. Every soldier has to carry his own bag, his own burden. Every Christian, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, you're a soldier. You have to carry your own bag. We all got to carry our own bag. But here's what happened. As every soldier's carrying their own bag, every once in a while, something's laid upon one of the soldiers that's above and beyond his bag. What do we do? While we're still carrying our bag, you know, something fell on this guy over here. We're still carrying our bags, but we got to go over there and we got to help get this unusual burden and help him with that. You understand what I'm saying to you? Sometimes people need help. And a one-time gift is not going to be the answer. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. One-time gift ain't going to be the answer. It's a, you know, I'm in a situation and I need this, that, and the other thing. And a one-time gift ain't the answer. So if a one-time gift's not the answer, then you need to readjust or resituate yourself, right? But then there are situations that come upon an individual. It was a one-time thing. You know, God comes up and says, you know what? I lost my job. I need $900 a month for rent. Well, I'm not going to be like, well, yeah, look, I'll give you $500 each month. I said, first of all, you need to get a cheaper place to live. Set yourself up. There's a big difference, you know. Then you got somebody that says, look, man, I'm in a situation. You know, I had this bill just came out of nowhere. It was an unusual situation, but and I just need, you know, whatever. There, that may be a help. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so we got to be very, very careful. But nonetheless, we all got to carry our burden. But then when somebody else has an extra burden on top of that, if we can help them along the way, may God help us. Amen. Let's love one another and let's serve one another by helping one another. And Lord willing, I don't know what's going on. Next time I'll be here, we'll talk about edifying one another as a part of serving one another. Let's pray. And we've got about a good 20 minutes. We'll better start on time today, a quarter of. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the encouragement, the challenge. Father, forgive us for not loving one another as we ought to. There are some people that are just easy to love. And then there are some people that are just not so easy to love. And I believe sometimes I'm one of those that are not so easy to love, especially by those that know me real well. I do pray, dear Lord, today that you'll help us to love one another so that we can best and better serve one another. Bless our time of fellowship in Jesus' name. Bless the upcoming service. Amen. We got a good 20 minutes.